What's up, everyone? This is your host, Marco.
And this is your host, Clayton.
And you're listening to the Pre-Dental Podcast. Boom. Ooh,
we haven't been able to do that in a while because we've been Zooming.
Zooming the interwebs. Yeah, so it hasn't been in sync like that for a minute.
It hasn't. We need to practice on Zoom, but that's never going to happen.
Oh, no. It's with the internet these days?
Yeah.
In this economy?
This economy, yeah. It's just not going to happen.
So, Clayton, you haven't done anything major recently?
Nothing.
Huh?
Nothing major. I did do one thing major. It was a wedding. My wedding, actually. But that's nothing too big.
Was it our wedding?
It could have been. Honestly, it could have been. It may have been.
Mr. and Mr. Pre-Dental Podcast.
Yes, exactly. I think a lot of people were confused when they showed up to the wedding, and it wasn't you and I. It was actually Emily and I. I think they were a little thrown off by that.
I know. You went from Clayton Sorrells to Clayton Herzog.
I am
all so happy for you.
I am Mr. Clayton Herzog now. I almost changed my name on Facebook the other day just to mess with people.
Gosh. Well, we started D2 year last week, so that's been exciting. We have a test tomorrow, apparently.
That's what people say, and that's what
the word on the street.
That's what our calendar says, but I'm not buying into it yet.
Listen, I'll show up. Put some answers on whatever, tests.
We don't do paper.
Computer.
Yeah, because we have so many paper tests in dental school.
Hey, we've had a few.
Gosh.
Well, anyways, you guys are not going to believe all the episodes that we have planned.
We're definitely going to release them at some point and record them at some point.
We release our episodes bi-weekly, and bi-weekly it's like by whenever they're done.
Yeah, exactly. Y'all probably are like holding on to that because I think in our first episode we're like, we're definitely going to release these once a month for sure. And it's been kind of like, well, really some like three a month, and then sometimes it's zero a month for 3 months, and then it's fun.
Yeah, but don't worry, we have ideas and we have them planned out. Like
they're in our brains.
If you guys could only see them,
like, wish y'all could. Wish y'all could see inside of our brains just to see the awesome stuff that we have coming.
But anyways, we do have a good episode coming to you today, whenever today is for you that you're listening to this episode.
Because we're probably recording this,
and it will not get posted for another few
long
days.
Time. A long time.
Not a long time. We're on schedule for another week.
We are. I guess. We're not behind yet.
I don't know. You guys are seeing the logistical nightmare that is the Pre-Dental Podcast.
Dental school. We're procrastinators anyway, and then you add this and...
Hey, as a member of the top half of the bottom half of the class.
See, as a member of the bottom half of the bottom half of the class. Anyway, okay, so we have, who do we have here today, Marky?
I don't know. Why are you guys in my house right now? No, I'm just kidding. We have one of our favorite classmates. She is a true inspiration, and we have been itching just to tell her story, or to allow her to tell her story, because it's so inspiring and so moving, and you guys are in for a real treat today.
Y'all would probably learn so much more if she was in charge of this podcast, but, but y'all are stuck with us, so. But anyway, we have Miss Serena Jones with us today. So Serena, just tell us about yourself.
Hello. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you, guys. I'm
Absolutely.
So happy.
Absolutely.
My name is Serena. I'm the D2 president, and I try to help these guys out when they need me and take care of things when they need to be taken care of.
Yeah, she's truly the mom of the class.
I do not know how you do it, because you have to deal with so many professors that... Oh, that was Stella.
Oh,
Stella's trying to escape. You just have to deal with so many professors and so many issues and all the class drama and all the class issues. I would lose my mind.
It can get a little bit crazy, but, you know, it's okay. It's one of the things
fine.
I'm
it's
good
fine.
At, I guess. I don't know. I kind of like it. I kind of like problem solving. So
that's good, because we have plenty of them.
Right. Lots of problems here at LSU Dental. So before we jump into the role of class president and what mm-hmm. that looks like, because mm-hmm. I would say it's a pretty common question that we get is,
definitely,
should I run for class officer?
Yeah.
We'd first like to talk about your undergraduate experience, or how you even got involved in dentistry in the first place.
Okay, great. So I am a little bit older than most of my classmates, only by maybe a couple years. And I started out actually in hygiene school at Pensacola State University. Did 2 years schooling there, worked for 16 years as a dental hygienist, and then moved to New Orleans, went to undergrad at University of New Orleans, finished up my bachelor's there, and applied to dental school. So I have 16 years working experience in the dental field, and then decided why not go big this time and go back for dental school. So that's how I got here. And that's the very short version of how I got here, but yeah.
So, and word on the street is that you did not have to do hygiene boot camp last summer.
Ah, one of the perks.
So, yeah. So you get to be a hygienist for 16 years and then you get to skip out on hygiene boot camp.
On a week long course. Yes, yeah. Yes. But I'm taking perio now, so and that sort of takes me back to my hygiene days.
Oh, gosh.
But yeah.
Well, perio.
I
love perio, Dr. Owens.
Yeah, she... If you have not listened to our perio episode, aka Dr. Owens taking us to church for about 30 minutes, please do so, because that was a riveting episode. I still think about that sometimes. But anyways, so what inspired your move from Florida to New Orleans?
It was honestly entirely logistical. I'm from Pensacola, Florida, so the closest dental school in proximity to my hometown was LSU. And then I had friends over here in New Orleans that I came and visited all the time, and I was really familiar with the area. And so really what sealed the deal was going into campus, meeting Dr. Sheremy. He totally sealed the deal for me. And the minute that I met him and talked with him, I knew that this was the place that I wanted to be. So hands down, without a doubt. And I interviewed and toured other dental schools, but nothing ever felt like LSU felt. And it was just a gut feeling.
It's just hard to beat LSU.
It really is.
So when you decided to go into dental hygiene, what made you decide dental hygiene rather than something else?
I was one of those crazy kids that was in the dentist office all the time with one problem or another. And like, I had this innate curiosity my whole life. I would ask a bazillion questions every time I went to the dental office. And so I think it was just this curiosity on my part, and the fact that at that time, the fact that the school was only 2 years in Florida, the hygiene school is only 2 years after you've done your first two, I guess. So anyway, you get a 2-year degree for 4 years of school, but I had already done my first 2 years. And so I thought, well, two more, I can be done. I can be working. I was a mom. And so it allowed flexibility with my schedule, and I could work, you know, around his school schedule a lot of times. And so that helped me a lot.
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely.
Nice. So how was, I guess my question is, having that hygiene experience before dental school, how has it helped you and has it hindered you at all?
People always ask me this question, and it's a great question, but I would almost argue that it hinders me more than it helps me, surprisingly enough, because everybody assumes that it helps me. And it does in some ways, because I was more familiar with some of the terminology and stuff like that. But if you've ever worked in dentistry, you know, in any capacity, you're more familiar with the terminology. But and I think it does help me being comfortable working in a patient's mouth, as opposed to had I never worked in a patient's mouth. But then some of the things that I learned along the way are taught differently now. And so I'm always challenged by that. And what was totally legit, you know, 20 years ago is no longer the way things are done, which is a good thing in most cases. And so sometimes it's a bit of a challenge to go, oh, wait, this is how we're doing it now versus the way that I did it for so long.
Well, and it seems too like we do so many different things in school, and it's not really how you do it in the real world. So it's like you would do this in the dental office, but you're not going to do this in school because
right. We're
learning how to do it. So
yeah, exactly.
Well, that was like an oral pathology when you have two brilliant pathologists teaching you, and you're like, oh my God, like what if I were to miss this diagnosis? And they're like, oh, don't worry, we've actually never seen this in clinic before. And you're like, well, then why do I have to know it for the test?
Good to know, just in case.
Yes, I don't know any of these big words, but you're making me learn them.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of similar. People ask me if nursing helps out in dentistry, too. And
Were you a nurse?
I know, it's surprising, right? It's great. Surprise every time. But I was talking to my little about it yesterday because he was a nurse too.
Oh, look at me. I have a nurse little
too. Oh my gosh.
Look at, I'm just here to brag. So, but we were talking about it, and it actually makes it harder for us because I think about dropping out of dental school all the time and just going back to make money again. So it's, I don't know. It seems like having a profession before another profession is, it does make it harder sometimes.
I think that really was the biggest adjustment for me, just personally, was going from working full-time and having a job with benefits and the whole nine, and then moving here and being a starving student at my young age that I am. So that was a huge adjustment, but it's totally worth it in the end. So, yeah.
So getting to LSU, was it an easy path to getting into dental school? Was it complicated? How was it?
For the viewers that couldn't see, she just started smiling because she's like, yes, of course, it was so easy.
Nothing to it. No, the truth of it is, Lord, there were many days of crying in the shower and, you know, threatening to go back to Florida and become a hygienist again or do dental sales or anything other than dentistry. But no, my path, I applied the first year, did not get in, and was totally devastated and just knew that my life was over. But then after talking to a few very good friends, they said, we're not going to let you give up. You can't give up. You've come this far. Try one more time at least. And so on the second attempt, I got in, thank God. And my biggest obstacle was the DAT. I wound up having to take the DAT four different times. So, but finally I made it. And I think it was just a mental block that I had, that the test was just going to be so hard that I just would never pass it. And the minute that I got over that fear is when I passed the test. So, I would encourage everyone, yes, it's tough, but don't make it an obstacle that you can't overcome, because you can.
That's how pretty much all first year was for me, is that it was just one big mental block.
Yeah.
But no, that's incredible. And I think a lot of people share that similar experience where the DAT is a barrier. And, unfortunately, it is for a lot of folks. And we're happy that you didn't give up on that.
Definitely. Because Dr. Sheremy
says it all the time, that you are where you're meant to be and you fall in the class that you're meant to be. And I can't imagine our class without you leading it without you being here.
Thank you.
So
thank you.
I'm thankful that, although it wasn't the ideal initial scenario, that it ended up the way that it did, because our class has benefited greatly from it.
Well, definitely. And I say this all the time to anyone who asks and half the people who don't, but my class is the best group of people ever on this planet. And I don't say that just because you're here. I mean that. Like, I really did wind up in the place that I was meant to be, with the people I was meant to share this experience with, because you guys encourage me all the time. You inspire me all the time. And, I look at how, at least the appearances, everyone is so organized. And I know behind the scenes it's chaotic. I know that. But you guys just have your stuff together. And it really does. It really encourages me, even if behind the scenes it's still crazy.
I don't even think behind the scenes, for me. It's in front of the scenes. I don't have anything.
It is in the scenes.
Well, you guys make me want to be a better person. That's all I can say.
Moral of the story. Yeah. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, it's incredible, and it makes for such a good story, too, because if it would have been such an easy journey, you may not appreciate it as much either.
Very
but
true.
You've tried so hard, and you put yourself out there, and you've just done great, and you've succeeded so much.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. I'm having trouble talking into the mic because Serena's in front of me over here, and so if it gets a little low, I apologize. Thanks, buddy.
I can scoot over a little bit.
We're adjusting as we go. There we go. We don't need Marco's Italian face in front of the mic anyway.
So, anyways. So, you got to LSU. You overcame adversity. You overcame the DAT. Mm-hmm. And then, day two, I think it was, day three, you decided, hey, I'm going to be a fearless leader. And you went for it. So, tell us about that experience.
So early on at LSU, they'd have the pre-dent 101 days, and I had gone to several of them. And, they always have a panel up on stage, and it's the class presidents. And one of the visions that I had in my head, call it crazy, but I was like, one day I'm going to be on that stage and I'm going to be the class officer that gets to tell everybody you can do it, you know. So that that second day of school or whatever it was, I just, you know, raised my hand, and I think I raised it before he even finished asking who wants to run, because it was something that I knew I wanted from way early on. Although I was naive at the time and had no idea what it meant as far as the workload and stress level. So there's a certain amount of stress that comes with the position, but in the end, it's fantastic. And it's a way that I stay connected with everybody. And I feel like, for me personally, just the way things have gone is when things get really tense is when my phone starts ringing.
Yeah. What are you talking about? Yeah. We haven't had any situations like that this year.
No situations
crazy
at all.
Crazy things kind of happen from time to time. But, you know, I'm able to step in. And I think because of some of my work experience and because of the age difference a little bit, it allows for a different perspective and how to handle things. So I think it's been beneficial. But yeah, it was something that I always knew I wanted to do. And I guess I was just crazy enough to raise my hand. And then you guys were crazy enough to keep me here because it's second year already. And so I love it. I really do.
And it's crazy how it worked out too, because the way it first worked out, we had like five or six people raise their hands.
Yeah. Jeffrey Sanders.
Yeah, and then they put the names in a hat.
In a hat.
And then drew the names out. And thankfully, your name was drawn. And then we did the elections after that. So it's amazing how it worked out.
Yeah,
like that.
It was kind of crazy. Yeah, I never would have guessed my name being drawn. That's for sure.
You would have thought there would be a more legit process than that, too. It's like, okay, we're just
going
to draw.
Name out of a hat. Yeah. Here we go.
You know, honestly, with the way the politics is going, I think that's what they're moving for. Seriously. In 2020. They're just going to put a bunch of names in a hat. And
they may do better.
I think if Marco's name would have got drawn out of that hat, I would have dropped out of dental school.
I didn't put my name in the hat.
Exactly. I would have been so scared. I made sure of it.
So a question for you on that is that with all of the things that we have been through, especially this year, like a lot of these things we can't say on the microphone, but like class drama, the tea was brewing.
Ooh,
it
yeah.
was boiling over.
Marco turned up the stove.
Marco wants the stove. Yeah,
that's true.
Would you do it again?
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. I've made some really good friends. And there's a certain level of trust that is formed when people do come and talk to me. And I think it's because they trust me and because they know what is said to me stays with me. And things get handled the way they need to get handled without causing more drama. So, and we've had our fair share, but you know, all in all, our class really has pulled together. I mean, I really, really do believe that. And even though hiccups happen, we always seem to work it out. So, yeah.
Right.
Things haven't been too bad. I mean, D2 year is a little crazy. But
yeah, D2 year is just a lot. And then you add drama on top of it and being class president. So it just adds so much more to it. My phone just broke in half, but it's fine. That's so many.
And you know, from what I've heard is that as of lately, because our class, ever since, you know, the whole situation with me where I almost was not in New Orleans anymore.
We could have only hoped.
ever since that whole situation broke, our class has been really quiet. And not that we don't talk friend-wise, but as far as drama and things go, we haven't really had anything versus the first and third years, from what I've heard, have been
really
keeping up for us.
Yeah.
So
last semester got a little hairy scary.
I think we've had so much experience last semester that now
nothing,
everyone's
nothing
like, well,
can faze us.
It is what it is.
That's how I feel. I'm like, hey, I survived last semester. I can conquer the world.
Seriously.
Let's do it.
Yeah, so far this semester's pretty good. I mean,
it's been so much
fun. I know, like, we allegedly have a test tomorrow and things like that.
Well, Marco's sitting over here in Group B, and he's got
three-day weekend.
Yeah, seriously.
Every weekend. What's that about?
Look, I'm off Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and I have an online class on Tuesday. Look at me.
Yeah, I'm already planning out some trips. God,
I
mean,
stay
honestly,
this guy.
If I don't have a patient's schedule, then I'm off Friday at noon, and then I don't have to go back till Wednesday at 1, so...
You suck.
I hate him so much.
Don't we all, buddy?
I cannot stand this guy.
Yeah.
So anyways, you decided that there simply wasn't enough on your plate and that you were getting bored and you needed to do more. Mm-hmm. So you went out there and you got a fellowship. So please talk to us about this decision.
I did. I joined the Albert Schweitzer Fellowship. And it's a volunteering aspect, and so I have been, and then COVID happened, so everything switched from my original plans of volunteering in a dental clinic to something I could do virtual, but, you know, you adapt and overcome, and so I've been working with them and working with the United Cerebral Palsy Dental Clinic, and that's Dr. Frank Martello, who is also an instructor at LSU. And so it's been really great. It's really great. They focus on caring for patients with special needs, and that's an aspect of dentistry that I'm interested in. So it was the perfect way for me to volunteer with them. And I'm now currently doing videos quite like this, except for mine are video instead of podcasts, educating patients and their caregivers and their families on, you know, specific dental needs, or even now I'm going to start a pharmacology type of the different medications and such.
It couldn't be me.
And one reason is because I went home and my mom has no clue. They don't, you know, sometimes people don't even know questions to ask the doctor. And I think that's the level that I want to come at it from, is, you know, trying to guide them into the questions they can ask their care providers. So.
What do you do in your free time?
Oh, my gosh. Here's one more thing, you guys. I started a Spanish club at school, too. So God.
That's not the one more thing I was thinking. Also started a small business.
Yes.
Right?
I did. Yes.
My gosh.
I'm apparently psychotic or something. No, I get bored very easy. I started a resin business, and I make and sell resin art, and it's been fabulous.
I need to look it up. It's incredible. Like,
is there there's an Instagram page for it?
Oh my God, I can plug it. Yes.
This
is the chance to plug it right here.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Check it out for sure. It's Resin Crew, spelled KREWE. And that's on Instagram and Facebook right now. And hopefully I'll be doing some TikTok. I got to get in with all the young kids, you know. I got to start doing some TikToks. But I've just started a couple months ago. And I'm already up to doing some pretty big pieces. And so I'm loving
it. It's beautiful.
Thank
y'all,
you.
Y'all seriously need to check it out. It is incredible. Some of the stuff that she does.
And what got you into that?
Weirdness of mine. I went down a rabbit hole of watching YouTube videos one night, and it happened to be at whatever point we were studying about, you know, the different dental materials that we use and stuff like this, and one thing led to another, and then I got off on the art aspect of, you know, resin art, and so the videos made it look super easy. So I said, hey, why not? Let's give it a try. But I like it because it does give me the chance to be artistic. And it's a sort of a stress management. And I just do what I can do when I can do it. There's no pressure to it. So it allows me just to kind of escape the day-to-day chaos of school and go into my little artsy-fartsy world.
I can't.
And where I like to live.
You definitely lost me there when you said studying for dental.
Yes, that didn't happen. I can't wait until we're all in practice and I'm scrolling through Facebook or Instagram one day and I see Serena with a patient and the entire patient's mouth is just like resin art.
I'm going to be like, yeah, to be a patient, you have to buy resin.
Yes. Buy 3 crowns,
my art will be on my
resin
wall.
Table free.
Yeah,
exactly.
So what does the future look like for you? Like what do you plan to do after dental school?
Well, I have always wanted to be a dentist that practices in a rural community. And so I have actually been talking to and working with a mentor of mine who is excited for me to come on into his practice. And so I'm thrilled. And that practice is in Bogalusa, Louisiana. It's very rural, very, very rural. It sounds like it. Yes.
I'm not very good at spelling as
it is. It's this little teeny tiny town, but I call it on the North Shore. I don't know. I don't know if that's if it's technically the North Shore anymore,
there's so many different words.
All Louisiana.
Yeah. He's been fabulous. I mean, now he's like a father to me. He's been absolutely fabulous. I've known him for a few years now, and I actually met him when I was waiting tables at a local restaurant here in New Orleans, and we've just developed this really good friendship, he and his wife, and you know, they just had a grandbaby, and it's like I'm part of the family now.
So
it's been really amazing, and I call him up anytime I need some real world, you know, sound, solid advice too. So he and his wife have both, you know, sat me down and said, okay. And especially when I'm stressed or when I feel like I can't go another day, and they just, you know, talk me through my craziness. So it's all good.
Yeah. So how has it been? I know you've touched on it a lot, but like having a mentor while in dental school and...
Oh, it's everything. I honestly, it's everything. I could not do this, without a sounding board, without a mentor, without that end goal in mind too, because I think that just gives you so much more drive and so much more like I'm doing this for a purpose. There's an end in sight. And I know in a couple, 2.5 years, this is where I'm going and this is what I'm doing and this is who I'll be working with. And of course I want to do well for myself, but I want to do well to make him proud too. And so having that really, really, really helps me a lot. And then, of course, the friends that I've made, I can't say it enough, and I'll sound like I'm on repeat, but the friends that I've made in dental school, if I didn't have that closeness, and thank goodness COVID wasn't a thing when we started school, because we all bonded so well because of that, and if it wasn't for that, and classmates that I could just, cry to if I need it, it would be much harder. So having that good solid support and network of people that you vibe with, that help you when you need it, that you help them, that's what it's about. And I couldn't imagine dental school without that.
I think Marco and I mean we've talked about that so much, like how close you get to your classmates, mm-hmm. because you just don't think you're going to get that close to people in dental school. You okay? You just don't think you're going to get that close to people in dental school, but you do. I mean,
you
just know so much about them, and it seems like you've known them forever. Mm-hmm. So it's incredible. And two, you touched on it, just having that end goal in mind, because it's so easy to just focus on the day to day and just get lost of where am I actually going with this? Mm-hmm. We had the dentures test on Wednesday, so it's just easy to get stressed out about that and all of the practicals coming up. So it's nice to imagine that end goal and know that you're actually going to get somewhere in not too long.
Yeah. Well,
it kind of reminds me of what Dr. Owens said in our previous episode, where you didn't go to dental school to become a dental student. You went to dental school to become a dentist.
I think I'm going to get that framed on my wall.
Or an oral healthcare provider of sorts. Mm-hmm. Like that, being a dental student is not the end goal. Like if being a dental student was all that there was, count me out, would not do it. Just not, really not worth it, in my humble opinion. But when you start seeing patients and you start getting so close to your classmates, I mean, I remember before COVID just walking into Aud A every day and having the same little mannerisms and greetings and whatnot with everyone and knowing where they were sitting down at. And it was weird because, if one person would be missing, all of a sudden it's like completing a puzzle and then you're missing that one piece and the picture is still generally there, but you're just missing something and it just doesn't feel right.
Yeah, exactly. And, you feel it when somebody's
and that's how
there.
I feel about our class. Yeah. And I think that's pretty much how we all feel about each other, even though sometimes some of us could do without a couple pieces at times.
Yeah, I could do without this piece. I could do without this corner piece over here. So Serena, so what advice do you have for the dental hygienist out there thinking about going to dental school, or the pre-dental students that they've taken the DAT 3 or 4 times and they just don't know what to do? What advice do you have for them?
I say do it, baby. Go for it. Give it all you've got and then some. And when, the old saying, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. But But really, there are going to be those days that you feel like you don't want to get out of bed, much less anything else. And I say get up anyway and do it. Push through it. Because in the end, at least for me personally, you have a sense of accomplishment and a sense of, you know what, I did do this. I overcame this obstacle. I challenged myself. I'm a better person now than I used to be. And all those feel good pieces just build and they keep building. So any dental hygienist out there who's thinking about becoming a dentist, go for it. Do it, do it, do it. You can do it and it will help you in some classes, you know, like we were talking about earlier. And then sometimes you'll say, well, this isn't the way they did it in my office. But, you know, you learn the way school wants you to learn and they're teaching you the technicalities behind a lot of it. And it's very valuable information. And then for those who have taken the DAT more than once, you know, it's standard to take it more than one time, but a lot of my classmates are brilliant and only had to take it once. But, you know, four times gets a little bit discouraging along the way. And if I would have given up at that third time, I would have regretted it my entire life. So go for it. Give it that extra shot and just do what you have to do to get the job done. That's my best advice.
I'm about to run through a brick wall right now. Yeah, like I am pumped.
We were talking earlier about how we usually don't have like a solid ending to these podcasts. We kind of just ramble right now until the end. But man, that was... Well, I've been watching like a lot of David Groggins videos and like Jocko Willink and them. And
I love David Groggins.
Yeah, I feel like I just watched one of those videos.
Don't give up! Don't give in!
Yeah. It's awesome. So... We love to end our episodes with a funny story. So it just has to be about your time in dental school. Just like a funny interaction you had, or it can be anything.
Oh my God, you totally put me on the spot.
That's what we do best.
I think the most embarrassing, I'll go with an embarrassing story that's kind of funny, maybe, I don't know. But Halloween, D1 year, we all dressed up to go to school. I won't give any of the other embarrassing stories about Halloween. But
I was shirtless for the whole night, if that gives anyone an idea of how that night went.
I don't remember that night. So.
I only remember the beginning of that night. But no, that one of the days we all decided to dress up at school, and I thought everyone was going to go big, and I thought everyone was going to be all dressed. And I love to costume. It's one of my things. I love it. I love it. I love it. So I show up in this crazy hippie costume with an Afro wig that was at least 4 feet tall. I mean, it was ginormous just because I was like, you know, going all in. And I might have been one of two people, three people, a handful of people that dressed up. And so I felt like, oh God, you crazy woman. You show up with this huge thing. But that was embarrassing for me. I don't know how funny it was. But and I don't know. I think you guys are hysterical. I think everything that anybody along the way, you guys are so funny. And I'm always trying to keep up and keep, you know, and I can never keep pace. But no, I don't know. I don't know of a funny story outside of that.
No, that was fantastic.
There's plenty of other ones that I probably can't share.
Marco and I we've had to bite our tongue a couple of times because there's quite a few things that we wanted to share but probably shouldn't. But no, I love that. I think that's when I dressed up like Buzz Lightyear and I showed up.
Yeah.
And nobody was dressed up either. And then you walked in and then I felt better about myself. I was like, okay, good. Somebody else is dressed up. Marco's having a medical emergency right now. His nose started bleeding.
That's what talking about dental school does. Stresses
you out. Seriously, it just stresses him out, and now he's...
I was trying to make Serena feel more comfortable as she told an embarrassing story. Yeah.
Now watch this trick. Well, I think that was great. That was a fantastic interview. Thank you so much for agreeing to do this
You're
with
welcome.
Us.
And, Thanks and for asking me.
Absolutely. We loved it. Marco, any last words there?
Do I sound the same? I don't.
No,
I
don't, no, no.
We're all stuck up there.
Well, anyways. This has been your host, Marco.
And this has been your host, Clayton.
And you've been listening to the
Pre-Dental Podcast.